Coming up next on Lutheran Radio UK,
The Lutheran Inquisitor, examining pressing issues and their ramifications for the Church today. And now, the second half of the examination of the hand of God in the history of the Church, with your host, Pastor John Ehlers.
We'd like to welcome to Lutheran Radio UK today, Dr. Dean Zweck. Dr. Zweck is professor of New Testament and Church History at the Lutheran College in Adelaide, Australia, which is the seminary for the Lutheran Church of Australia. Dr. Zweck is currently visiting the UK, doing some guest lecturing at Westfield House, which is our House of Theological Studies in Cambridge. And we'd like to welcome you to Lutheran Radio UK, Dr. Zweck.
Thank you, Pastor Ehlers. I'm very happy to be here.
Now, you've mentioned your work as a missionary in Papua New Guinea and Indonesia and your conversations with people from other faiths, but we've also just celebrated the Week of Christian Unity, and I also know that within the Lutheran Church Australia, you have for many, many years taken an active part in ecumenical relations. Can you tell us a little bit about that and how Christians, do you think Christians today, that there is a place for us to work together to share the gospel in ways that we possibly can, and perhaps explain ways that at this moment in time it can't be done?
My own experience as a pastor has taught me that as Christians we need each other. It just so happens when I was a young missionary, I was sent over to Bougainville Island, which is out in the sea off the coast from Papua New Guinea, about 600 miles. And I was single, and I knew no one. And so I soon made friends with other Christians, because I was sent over there to ministers, to gather together all these people who had gone there to work in the big copper mine, and they'd gone over from the mainland. I was sent there to gather them together. But in carrying out my ministry, I was very alone until I discovered how I could be good friends with Father Miltrup, the Catholic Father, and with the Anglican priest and with the Uniting Church minister. They became my friends and my colleagues, and I began to realize, well, I cannot just go through life just being a Lutheran Christian. We are part of God's family in Christ. And Christ himself prayed on the eve of his death, he prayed for his own disciples that they might be one, ut unum sin, that they may be one. And so I think it is important for Christians to overcome their differences and to work together, and especially to talk with one another so that they can overcome their differences and grow closer together in Christ. Not in a way that compromises their faith. They must be true to their tradition and to what they've been brought up in. But I think through the process of dialogue, we can often overcome past misunderstandings, and we can together, walk together to find our true oneness in Christ. For example, in Australia, we've been in dialogue with other Christians for quite a number of years, and the very first dialogue was with the Catholic Church that began more than 35 years ago and is still running today. In the wake of Vatican II, the Catholic bishops in Australia invited our church to a fraternal dialogue. We responded to that, and it's been so fruitful. And we've had a long series of dialogues on many topics, and we've produced many dialogue documents that really show where our oneness is in Christ. For example, the first one was on baptism, and then the second one was on the Eucharist, on the real presence of Christ in the sacrament. Then we went on to talk about ministry and the church, and we had a very special and important dialogue on the topic of justification, that we are made right with God through Christ, and not through our own merits and works, but through the justifying grace of God in Jesus Christ. That was a huge dialogue and a very important one. Then we talked about the ministry of oversight in the church. We talked about living word and living tradition. And now we're finally talking about the ministry of Peter. That's the hard one, of course, for Lutherans, because they weren't too happy with the papacy back in the 16th century. But we're much more happy with Pope Francis today. He's a good pope and we like him, and he says so many good things and does so many good things. So I think it's, this whole movement is a good one. Not compromising our faith, but finding what is our true unity in Christ and growing together that way.
Yes, I do think that's a very important thing. When we dialogue together, we actually understand the person and the position that, that perhaps another church body takes in a much more, I think, clear way. Sometimes we can set up these straw men and knock them down.
Exactly. So often, because of our differences, we've actually talked past each other. We've found that again and again in our dialogue.
And the International Lutheran Council has just begun dialogues with the Roman Catholic Church in Rome back in November. So we're very excited about those prospects as well.
I think that's an important part of our life together as Christians, and that we connect and reconnect, so to speak, because a lot of the divisions and brokenness in the Christian story. Well, it's really sad, and we pray again and again for God to heal our sad divisions. And for that to happen, well, we all need to go to the doctor together and pray for this too. And that's why it's good to have a week for Christian unity where Christians can pray for each other and with each other.
And you come from a church body that actually embodies that. Can you tell us a little bit about the Lutheran Church Australia? As I understand it, this is, you talk about being unified by the gospel. That kind of sounds a bit like your church.
It does, because we had our own bad divisions. Among those early Lutherans that first came to Australia, it wasn't long before there was a sad division between the first two pastors and their two flocks or their two congregations. And so we have our own story of brokenness and division, and that lasted for well over 100 years, and it's only like in the last 40 or so years that we have been one Lutheran church in Australia. And this came together again through a process of dialogue, through studying the Word of God together, and coming to a godly agreement in the gospel, in the sacraments, in the teachings of the church. I was a young person when that happened, and I can still remember the great joy that spread right through the church as the two major Lutheran churches came together to form one Lutheran church in Australia. And it was only when we were able to overcome that brokenness among ourselves that then we became more open to have dialogue with other Christians. Well, it's been a sad story, but also a very good story, how out of this brokenness, it was a gift. And they came together. When they came together with tears of repentance and also with tears of joy, both. Fortunately, we've been able to maintain that unity that we began with in coming together. So that's been a good news story. Lutheran Church in Australia is not a big church. In a population of about over 20 million, only about 200,000 people record themselves in the census as Lutheran. And the Lutheran Church itself can only account for about half of those. So there's Lutherans who go to church and there are Lutherans who are hiding.
That sounds like a common
yeah.
theme throughout Lutheranism.
Yeah.
But can you tell us a little bit more about that church body? You told us a little bit about the numbers, census-wise and actual numbers. But I understand that, you know, the Lutheran Church in Australia is very, very committed to education. It is committed to social care, especially, I think, for the elderly. And it has a number of really wonderful ministries that are taking place.
Yes, we're encouraged by what has happened in, say, the last 50 years, just in the areas that you spoke about. We're a small church, but with quite a large school system, because during the First World War, most of the Lutheran schools got shut down, and that's a sad story. But out of the ashes of that, some schools came back to life again. But it's since the Second World War, when Lutherans moved into the urban areas and founded congregations and whatever, their schools became attractive to people who are not Lutheran. So Lutherans were sending their own children to these schools, but because the schools were good and had a good reputation, they've just grown and taken off, and the government has been generous with funding. So we just keep... It's a wonderful good news story, wonderful success story, how our Lutheran schools have grown, and then how these have also become wonderful agencies for, or is that the right word, for teaching the gospel and preaching the gospel, because they are Lutheran schools and they don't hide from that identity. So, for example, there are more students in Lutheran schools during the week than there are Lutherans in the church on Sunday. That kind of statistic, that's what we're looking at. Yeah. So that's been a great story, and for some reason or other, our church has also been very good at doing aged care. And that also only began like in the 50s with one small project. But God blessed that ministry to aged people, and it has grown and it has flourished. And the government likes what we're doing, and they give us funding to help us build new places and continue this work. Another one you mentioned was, Lutheran Community Care. Began in Adelaide with one congregation showing a concern for the people living in their neighbourhood, because it was a poor neighbourhood. People were knocking on the door looking for help. And that ministry just took off through the vision and insight of one pastor and faithful people with him. And it's been richly blessed. And Lutheran Community Care is, it's not all over the place, like maybe Anglicare, but it is a very significant contributor in that field, reaching out to people in need. Another area of work that has also flourished is Australian Lutheran World Service, which is like the overseas of caring for the poor and refugees and those who need Christian care and compassion. And God has also blessed that work very richly, and it's a good news story in our church.
And the Lutheran Church Australia and the Evangelical Lutheran Church of England have had very close relationships for many years.
That goes back a long way. I don't know how far, but I remember as a child going to the wharf in Port Adelaide and seeing the Borges family off, because Pastor Borges was a classmate of my father, and he was one of the first Australians to come and serve over here. I'm not sure if he was the first one, but beginning with Pastor Borges and his family, there's quite a continuing story of Australian Lutherans being connected with this story here in England.
And we've also sent a couple of English pastors to Australia as well, Pastor Sims. And
Pastor Sims was my pastor.
And Pastor Guthrie is currently serving there?
Yes, and I remember meeting a Pastor Fraser.
Pastor Whittle?
Roger Whittle is with me on his pastor at North Adelaide, and he's also on the Lutheran Roman Catholic Dialogue with me.
And
so
we,
it's been a good relationship between our two churches, and I hope and pray that that continues. Yeah.
Well, and you are carrying that on, because currently you are at Westfield House, our theological college. Can you tell us a little bit about what you are doing there and how you ended up at Westfield House for this time?
I was about due to have a bit of study leave, And I was also rather eager to see our family because two of our children were here, and we've just become grandparents, Dorothy and I. So we were eager to come to England. And I'd heard through colleagues about the tutor for a term program at Westfield House. So I put up my hand and they said, yeah, that would be good, you come. So here I am, and I'm really happy that I did come here to Westfield House, and they made us really welcome here, and we feel very much part of this community, even though we've only been here about 2 or 3 weeks.
And while you're at Westfield House, what subjects are you teaching?
Well, I'm tutoring in two areas. My major task is to tutor some students from seminaries in America who are doing some of their studies here, and I'm tutoring them in homiletics, which, for people who don't know, is about how you go about preparing and writing and preaching the sermon on Sunday and other occasions too. That's the one thing I'm doing. My other task, I'm tutoring in New Testament, in the writings in the New Testament that are called the Catholic Epistles, the ones not by Paul and that were written to a more general audience, and that's why they're called Catholic, because they're for general epistles, sometimes they're called, like Peter and James and Jude. Not a big portfolio, which means I've also got time for some study, to visit around in Cambridge and preach on Sunday once or twice, and I'll be doing that too.
So you will actually be putting into practice the homiletics you're teaching?
Maybe I need to say to my students, do what I say, not what I do.
Well, what do you say about preaching? Let's go off on that one for a little bit then. What is preaching?
Preaching is centered around the Word of God. And the Word of God is written in a book, the Bible, and preaching is the task of digging it out of the Bible and making it a living Word of God for people today. So there you are on Sunday, and you might have the Old Testament reading, or reading from the Gospel, a miracle story, or a story of Jesus, giving a parable, or giving an admonition, whatever, or a reading from Paul's letters. Okay, they're the Sunday readings from the Bible, and the task of the preacher is to help the message of that text come alive for the people in front of you, so that they hear it as a living Word of God today, which will convict them of their sins, which will bring them the assurance and consolation of the Gospel, and which will also give them instruction for how they live their life as a Christian. So that's how I understand the task of preaching.
So the content of preaching is more important than, say, the style or the context?
Yeah, I think so. It's not. We can't compete with the media for slick presentations. We just can't do that. And the advertising world, they can beat us hands down at making it look really like that. In some ways, preachers are broken vessels. We're just ordinary human beings. We have our foibles. We have our weaknesses. Some are not particularly eloquent. Some are. But God uses all kinds of people to proclaim his message. Paul himself says, I was not particularly eloquent when I was with you. You say my letters are fiery and tough, but your presence is weak and your word is despicable. That's what his opponents were saying. So he was probably no great orator, and most of us who preach aren't. So it's really the content of the message that's important, and what we're trying to say. It's really important to get hold of the message and then to talk about how this fits into the lives of people today. What does it mean for them today? And for a preacher to do a really good job of that, he has to listen to it himself. He has to take it into his own being and say, well, what does this mean for me? What is this saying to me? How does this convict me of my sin and waywardness? How does this message bring me the comfort of the gospel? How does this preach to me the forgiveness of my sins, and so forth? How does this encourage me in my life, in my witness? So that's what preaching is about, is trying to communicate to the students with, that I'm with. Of course, they already know that, but I'm just reinforcing what they have learned.
And hopefully experienced.
Yeah, and they can put into experience themselves as they themselves pick up this path.
And there are some today, though, that would say, well, that's old-fashioned. You know, we've got all kinds of new ways of communicating.
Yeah.
Why do we still need a guy dressed up in a robe standing in front of us in a wooden box on a Sunday morning, you know, kind of badgering us a bit?
Yeah, well, that's the thing. People think that preaching is badgering, having a go at you or something like that. But it's not, it's really not kind of lecturing people on morals. It's more about one beggar in front of other beggars showing them where to get bread. And, well, of course, there are ways of using what God provides, and that includes the media, modern ways of doing things. And we can use these things to good advantage too, but I don't think that anything quite replaces the human voice and someone speaking to you from their heart. Technology can't replace that, I don't think. The same in teaching, you know, you can have all this whiz-bang kind of resources, but in the end, I think the best teaching is face-to-face, when one person is talking with another and discussing things together. So there's not one way of preaching a sermon, but it is a word event. It is a conversation. And the more formal sermon, I think, that's been around for about 2,000 years. Jesus preached in the synagogue in Nazareth. Jesus taught us preaching, and Jesus learned that from the synagogue of his own time. And it's been going for 2,000 years, and I don't think that modern technology or other ways of doing things are going to replace it. Might help, might complement it, but it won't replace it.
And again, Lutherans, I think, are very keen on stressing the fact that when the pastor is preaching, he's preaching God's Word.
You know? Exactly. It's like Luther himself said, if I may quote Chairman Martin, he said, he was looking back on his career, he said, when I look back on my career, I did nothing. The Word did everything. And as Lutherans, we have that conviction that it's not the persona, it's not the person of the pastor, or his attractive personality, or his eloquence, but it is the word that he proclaims, which is God's word, and God's Holy Spirit works through that word to convict the hearts of people and to get through to them.
Now, the pastor can get in the way of that word.
Yeah, unfortunately, we do. That's a problem.
But God still uses...
Yep.
Him as the instrument.
Earthen vessels though we be, and sometimes broken vessels that we be, when we stand before the people, I say to students, don't say you sinners too much. It's we. we're all, you know, if you're talking about the Lord, say we, because we're all sinners. And sometimes, like you said, sometimes pastors get in the way of the message, and that's a shame, because if we don't practice what we preach, or if there's a difference between what we say and what we do, we're not helping the message.
And when there is, then we ask for forgiveness.
Yes, exactly. And that's why the service doesn't begin with a sermon, it begins with a confession of sin. And the pastor includes himself in that, definitely.
Well, Dr. Zweck, it's been a real pleasure having you on Lutheran Radio UK, and we very much appreciate your time. We wish you God's richest blessings as you continue your work at Westfield House, and we really enjoy our fellowship and our relationship with the Lutheran Church Australia. You know, even though we suffered sort of at your hands at the last test match, and I appreciate you for not really rubbing our noses in that.
It's like faulty towers, you know, don't mention the war.
Yeah.
Don't mention the cricket. But actually, cricket's a very theological, very kind of religious game, because it says in the Bible, those who exalt themselves shall be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted. And I think that's what you see in cricket. Just when you think you're... We were so afraid of the English coming. And look what happened. But now we shouldn't get too cocky, because what could happen? It's such a wonderful game, and it's also a good way for our two countries to be friends. But thank you again for allowing me to talk with you and with your listeners. And I'm very happy to be here in this country, very happy to be doing what I'm doing at Westfield House. And I wish you, Pastor Ailes, and the people of the Evangelical Lutheran Church in England, I wish you God's rich blessing too.
Thank you very much, and please take our greetings back to all the saints in Australia.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to the Lutheran Inquisitor with Pastor John Ehlers. If you have any questions or comments about the issues raised in this program, send an email to info@lutheranradio.co.uk. The podcast of this show is available from our website. Check our program online and stay tuned.